Back together again with you to kick off a brand new week, Monday, September 26th, 2022, on Connecticut Today. I wondered out loud to kick off the program how and why politics and the debate over policy have descended to the current lowest common denominator level. What's happened to our debate over politics over the decades? Independent gubernatorial candidate Rob Hodling joined the show to talk about Tuesday night's first gubernatorial debate. He's only guaranteed a spot in the first of two debates. So I'm sitting around all weekend. And hi, by the way, Paul Pacelli here. How are you? Sitting around all weekend. And in particular, yesterday, while I'm screaming my head off at the ineptitude that is, always has been, and will be, for now and forever, world without end, amen, the New York Jets. But in the brief moments that I stopped screaming at my computer screen and got up to ventilate a little bit and walk around the house and say, okay, take care, it's only a football game, now relax. In some of those brief moments, I started wondering, because one thing I do, which is probably not good, is I have a propensity to, at the same time I'm watching one of my teams get beat down into the ground, and I really should stop doing this, do one or the other, Paul. And at the same time, often on the weekends, I watch my teams, for whatever reason, get beat down into the ground or lose or whatever. I often have my other computer screen up, and I'm reading stuff about really stupid people. I mean, people that have to have rocks in their heads. Honestly, a lot of them are well paid. But watching sports that's not going my way and reading about people that are just really dumb, or they may not be dumb. Let me amend that. Let me step that back a little bit. But they just say dumb things, and maybe they figure that's the way you get votes, that's the way you catch the fish with the drag line or the net or whatever. Maybe it's just, I don't know, what's that phrase, least common denominator, low-hanging fruit? What am I talking about? Well, and we start off with this question at 203-333-9422-333-WICC. We start off, and I'm just going to kind of throw this out there. It's a Monday. We'll get our wheels all revved up for the week. The one of only two debates for the governor's seat are coming up tomorrow night. We'll have one of the participants coming up later in the show. But man, oh man, when did our politics get so stupid? And is this a case of just listening to the loudest voices in the room? And what I mean is, you know, everybody says, well, you know, the internet and social media and all the ways to communicate, well, it's such a good thing because it brings more people into the process and it allows people to really understand what's going on. I would submit to you on this Monday, September 26th, that I think it's having the opposite effect. I really do. I think it's having the opposite effect. You know, years ago, if somebody was allowed to give commentary on something, they had to have at least a modicum of understanding of the process, right? And again, I guess we touched on that a little last week with, oh, Ron DeSantis is a human trafficker. And I'm like, yeah, all right, whatever. You got your Google University law degree. Go ahead, do that, whatever makes you happy. Because you know what? You have no idea what's going on. Anybody in the national media, according to the experts who brings that up, not me, but experts say anybody who brings that up, nah, it's probably not happening. But because we have the internet, because we have Facebook, because we had Twitch and Twitter and Instagram and all this, everybody's opinion is, phew, it's out there like, you know, shot out of a cannon, launched from the launch pad in NASA there down at Cape Canaveral. And it takes off and it becomes, it becomes fodder for the dumb people. Case in point, And part of the reason this angers me and it frightens me that, you know, I've watched a lot of documentaries and read several books and articles about prior political campaigns. I mean, when we went back to, you know, the 1930s or the 40s or the 50s or even the early to mid 60s into the 70s, 80s and maybe the early 90s, you know, there was a lot of hard policy discussions. You didn't really waver into, well, that guy's racist and that gal is racist and, you know, how can this black guy be a Republican and how can that black guy be a Democrat? I mean, we didn't really get into that. Why? Because thankfully, there weren't as many avenues for idiocy to spread. You know, people, well, Paul, you know, maybe there weren't enough voices back then. Yeah, but usually the voices we had a certain level of understanding that prevented crackpots and people from getting on national forums and even local forums and statewide forums talking about stuff. Now, what about, you know, here's a perfect example. And by the way, if you want to jump in here, you explain to me where our politics went off the rails here. 333-9422, 333-WICC. I guess before I get to her, let me go to this. This woman who has been elected the new Italian prime minister, right? What's the mantra you're hearing now today on this? What, I think her last name is Meloni, and she, you know, pretty tough, pretty fiery broad. I'm kidding, relax. Shall I use chick anyway? Stop. Skirt? No, it's a joke, relax. God, it's Monday, loosen up. Pretty fiery speaker. And everybody now, oh my God, you go to all these center and left-leaning. Oh my God, Italy elected Mussolini again. Oh, and I'm reading this morning going, stab me in the eye. Is this what we're going to deal with for the next week about this election? Oh my God. And they throw around. And I'm not just talking about the local street corner dummy who doesn't has no idea what he or she is talking about. But they're throwing this stuff around. Like, again, it's like reaching your hand into a bag of Skittles. Well, obviously, she's an admirer of Mussolini. Oh, my God, stop it. Stop it. But unfortunately, somebody can spew this garbage while they're sitting in their basement in their underwear with their tinfoil on. Is she a leader that is much further right than Italy is used to? Yes, absolutely. No one with a brain or no one who actually understands the issues would deny that. But again, what's the mantra out there? Oh, this is it. They hate immigrants in Italy, and they hate this. And, oh, don't go to Italy if you have brown skin. I mean, some of the stuff I'm reading this morning is nuts. And, you know, on the other side, I'm reading over the weekend, well, the QAnon people are at it again. Oh, my God. Oh. Maybe turning off the internet for a year would be a good thing. Maybe turning off Facebook or TikTok or Instagram or Twitch or Truth Social. Maybe we should just turn it all off and allow the sickos time to just leave the room. Oh, my God. So we've got one person here who's suddenly the reincarnation of Mussolini. Yeah, okay, I'm sure. And I'm sure they'll be chasing her like they chased Mussolini before they eventually got him at a gas station, and that's where his existence ended. But my God, this stuff out there, and now I'm reading on the back here in the U.S., well, QAnon is starting their rebound. Oh, my God. When exactly, here's my question to start us, and I'm kind of asking this tongue-in-cheek, but my God, when exactly Did we lose our minds with our politics? Because I watch all these documentaries and I read all these books from some really good historians. And they talk about, well, the election in 19 so-and-so was centered on foreign policy and the Iron Curtain and the economic future of the U.S. And I'm saying to myself, boy, what a nice time that must have been to engage in a campaign. Not too much TV back then, but radio and newspapers. And people, I guess, were kind of forced to think about things. Now, I'm talking about something on the national scene here, QAnon, or I'm talking about something on the world scene, what would happen in Italy. Now, don't lose faith, because there are a couple of things here in Connecticut, too, that, you know, make you sit back and go, what are you talking about? There are, at least at this point, and it probably won't change at this point, two debates in the governor's race coming up. One is tomorrow night, September the 27th. The sponsor there is NBC Connecticut. The second debate is going to be November 1st, a week before the general election. That one is going to be sponsored by and broadcast by our news partners, WTNH News 8, at the annual meeting of the Connecticut Conference of Municipalities. This gentleman is still trying to get into debate number two. He's in debate one tomorrow night, return visit here with Rob Hodling from the Independent Party. He'll be on the Independent Party line. Last time we talked to Rob, it was crazy because he found out he'd be on the party line. Now he's getting ready for the debate tomorrow night. Hey, Rob, it's Paul again here at WICC. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good, good. And good afternoon to you, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate it. Let me ask you first up front, any progress in perhaps getting on the stage for the second debate coming up, or are you still being locked out of that? What's the deal with that?
Yeah, we hope that we're going to have some progress there. There's some certain requirements, for example, getting on a poll and reaching a certain number. Issue is the most recent polls haven't run me. They haven't included our name. So we're confident, though, the moment that any of these polls from Quinnipiac or The Hill or WTNH or anyone, they run us, we'll get the number and we'll be on that stage for CCM.
Yeah, I've noticed, Rob, they're running. One of the categories was, you know, Lamon Stefanowski, not sure, or someone else. And I noticed that. And I guess you may be hoping, Rob, that someone else translates to your name.
Well, it is, because last time I checked, and I just saw my colleague Michelle Bickling this past weekend at a hate rally. She's Green Party, but she didn't reach the threshold. They didn't. And then if I understand this right, Dr. Aaron Lewis from the Libertarian Party, I believe they didn't reach the threshold either. So I am the only other. So by definition, the polls should include me and my name.
So do you have lawyers working on this or campaign people? How have you been pushing that?
Yeah, I am working with numerous people from across the ecosystem to try to make this happen. But as you know, it's supposed to be an independent poll. You don't really have any influence over the decisions they make. But I'm pretty confident the poll you're talking about, the most recent one, shows that 4% would vote for other, meaning they don't even care if it's Governor Lamont Stefanowski. They're just voting other. That other is me because I'm the only other one. And then 9% say they're undecided.
Yeah.
But guess what? We believe that 9%, we can get, if not all of it, the majority of that. So we think we're pretty a formidable and viable campaign.
Have you ever debated before on any level?
Sure. I debate almost daily in technology and finance. So maybe not a governor debate. Definitely not. But we definitely debate ideas, and the best ideas win. And I have a huge rich history of doing that for the best thing for our customers. I think I can apply that to our voters.
It's interesting because, Rob, one thing that you're, I think, alike in the other two candidates, although not on policy, this is probably, Rob, if you're the largest, you know, somebody else vote getter, three people, you, Mr. Lamont, and Mr. Stefanowski, who all come at this, Rob, from somewhat of a business background. That's kind of interesting, don't you think?
I do. Prior to Lamont winning, he was a businessman. And Stefanowski, as folks are well aware, no prior administrative experience in the government at any level. So I'm really, the only difference is that they have bigger bank accounts. But I think this election is going to be driven on big ideas, not big bank accounts. And so, I also would add, right, that the registered unaffiliated are the largest voting bloc, and they're that for a reason.
So how, Rob Hodling, do you position yourself tomorrow? Because Mr. Stefanowski or Governor Lamont, one is going to be column A, one may be column B or C. How are you, you know, candidate B, C, or A there? How do you try and separate yourself in that debate tomorrow?
I think in a couple of key ways, right? There's obviously there's some items that I align with both parties, and that's the key difference for me. I'm not beholden to a certain ideology or what the R's or D's want. I can take the best of both sides, and I'm only beholden to the best ideas, right? And I'm the only one who can bridge the blue-red divide and make sure that the voters of Connecticut get really what they need rather than what a party wants. I'm the only one who can do that.
What is Governor Ned Lamont, and I'll ask you about Mr. Stefanowski's proposals in a second, Rob Hodling, but you look at what Governor Ned Lamont has said and what he's done over the first 3.5 years of his administration. What do you think he should have done differently, or what would you do better?
Yeah, I think for Lamont, it's pretty clear he's been a maintainer. He was a steady hand through COVID, but he hasn't really done anything aggressively to address our cost of doing business or cost of living. The numbers show that. Achievement gap, numbers show that. He hasn't done anything there, right, that really significantly impacts it, right? So I would have done things a bit differently there. Again, I come from both a manufacturing, technology, and a finance background, and I could understand what manufacturers and technology companies need more so than he would. So I would definitely do things differently there. Stefanowski, on the other hand, we're well aware where he stands, right? He's just talking about tax cuts as if that is an economic plan, right? And I think Lamont calls him payday loan Stefanowski, but you know, earning your wealth off of those who typically are low to moderate income people who don't really fully understand what payday loans are doing to them financially, I don't think that's really a call to fame, in my opinion, right? So, we need to do better than just talking about tax cuts. That's not an economic plan. And so I think that, again, we have some different ideas that we think are, and we're better in execution.
Rob Hodling is the guest. Couple more minutes. The Independent Party candidate for governor. He will be in debate number one tomorrow. Debate number two coming up a week before the election. He's still working on. So the debate's tomorrow night. So, Rob Hodling, when I'm doing this show on Wednesday or any of our other talk show hosts here, and they're talking about what they saw or what they heard or, let's say, what the buzz is from that debate, and the newspapers and the TV stations and the radio stations said, wow, that was pretty amazing when Rob Hodling said blank, and that really knocked Mr. Stefanowski and Mr. Lamont off of their precise timing. What would that be? What's your major? What's your big punch going to be tomorrow night?
Well, a couple different areas. One, I believe that we could best address cost of doing business, cost of living. In a couple different ways. One is eliminating business personal property taxes and motor vehicle taxes. That is going to directly affect cost of doing business, and helping towns offset that revenue with additional ECS funding. So that's one, right, directly addressing cost of doing business. And then I think another big one for me personally is just focusing on retirees and doing some important things. And I'm going to be talking about possibly, which is something more radical, which is giving retirees, those who served in our state for at least 10 years, lived or worked in our state for 10 years, who are at the retirement age, I would love, and I think it's a great idea, to give them a quote-unquote public option. They have learned to live with high medical costs, which is unfair to them, and we need to treat those most vulnerable in our society who've put in their efforts and their loyalty to our state to deserve some defined benefit.
Finally, Rob, how would you work with the General Assembly? You've never been in elected office before. Neither has Bob Stefanowski. And even though Governor Ned Lamont is the incumbent, relationship sometimes between him and the state House and the state Senate aren't always, you know, like hot tea and kumbaya, if you know what I mean. How would you do me a favor? Use that word tomorrow night and I'll know it's a shout out to me. Wow, he did it. But seriously, you know, the legislative leaders, Rob, they're real powerful up there. You know, those folks have been there for decades. How would you approach working with them?
Well, I think I'm the only one of the three candidates who can bridge the blue-red divide. I've been part of both parties, Democrats in my 20s, Republicans in my 40s. Now, I left both for various reasons, and I believe that I represent not left, not right, but right down the middle. I've already spoken with a number of state senators and House reps from both parties, and they actually feel pretty comfortable talking to me, especially off the record. I believe I serve the best opportunity to find a reasonable compromise on both sides, because as we said, politics used to be the art of compromise. Mm-hmm. And when did that become a bad word, right? And this would put me on notice. And again, I'll leave on this one last note. Everyone may not like what Weicker did, right, in terms of introducing the income tax.
Yep.
But the point is, he was not part of a major party. He was a nonpartisan candidate that did get a number of legislative actions through the legislature. I believe I'll be the first governor since him to actually be able to accomplish that.
Rob Hodling, thanks, and good luck tomorrow. We'll all be watching, and we'll talk down the road. Thank you, Rob.
Thanks a lot, Paul.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye. All right, folks, there you go. Interesting guy. Sounds very interesting. Third-party candidates always do, don't they? When you think about it, because this is not anything negative, they're third-party candidates. So I have found over the years, whether it's been like a guy like Lowell Weicker that I actually interviewed a couple of times, or Rob or Oz Griebel, you know, they sit in the middle and they say, listen, here's just my idea. The party A is right on this and wrong on this. Party B is wrong on this and right on this. So interesting. We'll see how he does.